Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, you're going to hear the conversation that I had with Eric Allen. That's right, former Raider cornerback Eric Allen. This was following day two of the 2022 NFL draft. We were actually at Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, and we did a pre-draft show with JT the Brick, Kirk Morrison, Eric Allen, and myself. That was a lot of fun. A lot of you actually got to check that out on YouTube. That was an honor to be a part of. But myself and Eric Allen, we took it on home on that Friday evening as we had the little post-draft show, and it was a lot of fun. It was just such an honor to be able to be side-by-side with the great EA, Eric Allen. So you'll hear that coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Really, day three of my vacation on this Friday, May 20th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team just every win. Day.
Just win.
You're a win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. And as I mentioned, day three of my vacation, myself and the wife are getting a little R&R, a little rest and relaxation, trying to recharge the batteries as we prepare for another upcoming season. Of course, training camp, all that good stuff. It's going to be a lot of work coming up. And so we want to definitely make sure that we have all batteries charged. So we're doing that right now. So what I'm doing the next few days until I get back next Wednesday is just kind of going over some of the stuff that's gone on the last year, not even a full year since I've been in Las Vegas, some of the stuff that I'm really, really proud of. And one of those things is my conversation I had with Eric Allen, myself and EA. We hosted the post-draft show on day two of the NFL draft from the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center on that Friday night. So here's part one of the conversation between myself and Eric Allen.
Back to Raiders HQ for more NFL draft coverage with Q and Eric Allen.
And then there was 2 days that were officially in the book. We're live at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, Raiders HQ, Eric Allen, Q Myers. And man, I'll tell you, it's so funny. We talk about and lead up to the draft for so long. It feels like the longest process.
It does.
And then going all day one with no pick for the Raiders, it seemed like it was such a long day. And then we do the pre-draft show earlier today. Fantastic, fun show right here. And then all of a sudden, we look up and we're like, man, 2 days already in the books.
Already gone.
You know, we got one more day to go.
Right, for sure. But I'm pretty sure the fans out there who've come in from all over the place to come to Las Vegas are having an outstanding, great time. So many jerseys from, you know, all the teams. Just loved it the couple days that we've been here. So, but the Raiders today, again, getting some depth, getting some competition. And tomorrow they'll start off and try and get right back at it.
No, they really will. And that's what it's about, is getting that competition in that locker room, getting these guys into the mix and knowing what they want. You know, it seems like with this regime, Eric, that they really know what they want. It seems like every time they talk to the media, and you know, you've mentioned it before, you got to practice what you preach. So it could sound good, but you also got to go out there and show it. But it just, to me, it feels like that they're very calm, they're cool, they're collect. And they know what the plan is, and they're going out there and executing.
Yeah, and that's so important for the fan base.
Right.
Because everyone has hope this time of the year. Mm-hmm. Every team has hope that we're going to turn it around. You can point to the Bengals situation. You can point to those established teams that were very aggressive the last two seasons, and the Buccaneers and the Rams that won Super Bowls. Everyone has a direction. And now the Raiders definitely have a path, a message. Everything is the same. There's not, you know, one thing coming out of one area of the team,
right,
another coming out of another area. It's all focused. And hey, you know what? We're ready to get this thing going right now.
Yeah, they really are. And we heard from GM Dave Ziegler just a little while ago, and he was talking about the day and talking about ready to, you know, maybe adjust a couple little things here and there, and then boom, get right back at it to close out this draft. Again, they have a pick in round 4 and 3 in round 5 and a round 6 pick, number 126 overall, 164, 165, 169, and then close things out with 227. And so it's just, you know, I feel like that we're going to see a lot of talent selected tomorrow throughout the course of the draft. I mean, there's going to be a lot of a talent draft, but I think really good talent. I feel like there was so many. When we look at the way it all shook out today, I mean, what, two quarterbacks taken?
Yeah.
Yeah. Throughout two rounds, and they were both in the third round?
Right, for sure. And there's value.
Right.
And we can see that. Yeah. As Raider fans, we know that there's value with all those players, with the Crosbys, with the Nates, with Darren Waller, with Renfro.
Yeah.
I mean, those are impact players for us. You know, we count on those players to move the chains and get the touchdowns in the red zone or lock down a guy on third down. Those guys were found in the third, the fourth, the fifth round. So there's value there. It's all about how your team evaluates those players and bring them in and how they can help your team get those wins.
The Raiders picked offensive lineman Dylan Parham from Memphis, inside lineman. He could be a center. He could be a guard. He's kicked outside to tackle, but most likely he'll be on the inside. But competition is key, and that's what it's going to be about. Versatility is key, something that we've been hearing the whole time this new regime has been in place. So he's the third-round pick. We heard from him, and you know Eddie was asking him about just the whole process and what it was like when he got that phone call, and you know he went into a great lengthy answer about just the whole process and freezing up when he got the phone call. And you know, I've never been there. I've never been on the other end of that phone call. I've never been the guy that says, "Hey, we're going to select you here, there. We want you to come and do this." You have. What is this process like?
Well, it really is about the commitment, you know, and if someone is willing to take a chance and commit to you, and you feel like, you know what, this person has made a dream come true, but it's just the beginning of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to me now to make sure that that person's commitment, that person's belief in me is true. And I'm going to make whoever, you know, is making that choice, I'm going to make them right.
Right.
And in my case, you know, I thought I was going to go earlier, but I was so excited, you know, to get that call from the Philadelphia Eagles and knowing that Buddy Ryan, who was, you know, one of the best defensive minds in all of football, was going to be my coach.
Right.
And I had a great group of older, mature vets that taught me the ropes, but it was all about learning.
Mm-hmm.
But it all started with that phone call and, you know, that dream of one day being in the league and and you know, being on Monday Night Football, you know, and playing for which I have two favorite teams, you know, and people are like, how can you have two favorite teams? Well, the Eagles, because we had a guy who was in high school who went to the Eagles, name was Wally Henry, who was a kick and punt returner. And then obviously the Raiders because of Marcus Allen, both from San Diego.
Those
are my two teams.
Represented.
You know? Yeah, those are my two teams. And again, you know, to be able to be in that situation.
Right.
And then 10 years later, you know, get that call from the Raiders. And hey, knowing what that meant, you know, being a Raider and all those great, and man, I just love Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes, Willie Brown, knew I was going to be a part of that cornerback family. Oh, man, it is really, really rewarding after all those years in the league to finally get to play with the at that time, the Oakland Raiders.
Well, you know, and it's so funny because earlier in the day you were talking about, you know, your favorite player and how much you love Cliff Branch, you know. He was 21.
He was.
You were 21.
That's
what was that like when you came over to the Raiders and you're rocking that number? That's your number, but that's Cliff Branch's number.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it goes back to even Pop Warner, where all the quarterbacks were 12.
Yeah.
You know, the Snake and Joe Montana and Joe Namath, excuse me. And so when I got to high school, I was like, hey, I want to be 21.
Right.
Because that's my number. That's Cliff Branch.
Yeah,
I
got to
be 21, you know? And I never forget this neighborhood guy who was friends with the coach. He got 21. So I had to rock 25.
Okay.
And so I rocked 25 all through high school, rocked it in college. But, man, when I got to the league, I was like, I'm getting 21. So whoever's 21 on this team.
Watch out.
You better watch out.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah, so Buddy Ryan, actually, there was a guy who wore 21 who played corner, and it was pretty good corner.
Mm-hmm.
He cut him.
Wow.
He cut him, yeah. And I got 21, so you know, that was my guy, Cliff Branch, so explosive and speedy, would always win the games and open things up for everyone else. And I just loved how he played.
Right.
And you could see the passion, So that's where I rock 21.
Well, of course, he's going into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's not going to be here to smell the flowers, but his family's going to. All yep. the Raider Nation's going to be there, will be there. The Raider family will be there. It's going to be a heck of a celebration in Canton, Ohio. But just wanted to get your draft day memories yeah. in. I mean, because that's a process. You know it you're is. Going to the league. You know, but at the same time, you know that these guys are really, you know, they're combing through everything with a fine-tooth comb. They're trying to find the ins and outs about you. Yep. They're trying to see what you do good, and they're trying to see what you don't do good. You know,
exactly.
and just everything. But you know you're going, but I can only imagine that until that phone actually rings, it's so stressful.
Yeah, Q, that's a great insight on your part because most of us see – you know, the athlete sitting in the room or at the events
right.
waiting to get his name called. But before that process, just like Dylan has had to do, is you have to evaluate yourself. You have to have people in your circle who give you an honest critique about how you are, who you are, early in the process to hopefully get you to that day.
Right.
So there's a lot of transformation, both maturity-wise, mm-hmm. right, and then athletically. Because, you know, you're on a college campus and you may have had 8 interceptions your sophomore year, and everyone's talking about going to the league.
Yeah.
But your coach, if he's a good coach, like, hey, man, a lot of those picks were overthrows,
mm-hmm.
and you bit on a double move here. So it's up to you to kind of take that advice
mm-hmm.
and really work it in the offseason so you can cover up a lot of those weaknesses that the scouts are going to be able to see. So you want the people to come in and interview you,
right.
and the coaches say, hey, man, he's a really good guy. And you look in those guys in the face, those scouts, and say, hey, you know what? I was a knucklehead early. Now I've matured. I understand mm-hmm. because of this, and this. And if you see my tape, you see that I have – become a better player in this situation. You know,
right.
I used to have struggle playing off because my eyes were in the back, had bad eyes. But
yeah.
now you see, man, I'm focused, got red dot on the shoulder. Once he turns, man, I'm right here making the proper play at the right proper leverage on this sort of play. So guy's going to break you down. He's going to see those 40, 50 games.
Right.
And hopefully for these young players that, you know, first 10 games, totally different from those last 10.
There's the great Eric Allen right there. That was at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. That was day 2 of the NFL draft. That was just a lot of fun, you know, and that's just part 1 of our conversation. It was great to be able to sit down with EA and just, you know, ask him questions and then just pick his brain because, again, a guy that played it at the highest level like he did and played it for a very long time and a guy that actually has a very good argument for being in the Hall of Fame. You know, it's just great to be side by side. I go really far back with Eric Allen, Gums Barbershop back in Hayward, California. We both used to go there. Used to take his son there as well, and so I'd see him there. But now to be able to work side by side with him every once in a while is just such an honor for me. So excuse me if I sound like I'm smiling because I am ear to ear just because this has just been such an unreal year, and I've loved every minute of it. So hopefully you're enjoying this little kind of look back at the last year I've had here in Las Vegas. Coming up in segment number 2, part 2 of the conversation with Eric Allen. Before I get to that, though, do want to tell you about BetOnline.net. They're the number one source for all your betting and sports information, all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including the NBA playoffs. They're going on right now. MLB fights, even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They've got live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device. Learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Jumping back into segment number 2 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Today you're hearing my conversation with Eric Allen. We were at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This was day 2 of the NFL draft. You heard part 1 of our conversation in segment number 1. So let's go ahead and jump right back into it. Myself, Eric Allen, just talking X's and O's, talking about the draft, talking about what the Raiders could do and what they need moving forward. Just a good time to hear Eric Allen, the great Eric Allen, just talk some ball. So here's part 2 of our conversation.
How long did it take you to figure out, like, okay, I got it. I feel like this is, okay, it's clicking.
Yeah. Okay, so I had 2 or 3 light bulb moments.
Okay.
One came in high school when I was playing corner and we're playing this team and they threw an out route on the wide side of the field. 2 plays later, the same receiver came to my side, and as he was coming out, I'm thinking to myself, I know they're not going to try and throw this same route again.
Right.
I mean, you just can't do that. I just saw it over there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they threw it, and I picked it up. I was like, it can't be that easy. So that was like a light bulb moment. Like, you need to understand what the offense is trying to accomplish.
Right.
And I didn't put it all together, mm-hmm. but it was like, man, it can't be this easy. You know, fast forward a couple years, I'm at A-State, and, you know, we're playing USC, and it's a critical time in the game. They need to get a first down. And, again, I'm on one of their better receivers, and he's split on the line of scrimmage on close to the numbers.
Right.
So I'm thinking, okay, he has a lot of field to work, this out route, right? And so I kind of play a different way. I should play inside, mm-hmm. but I play outside because I got safety help.
Right.
So now, like, I'm formulating a game plan. I'm kind of dictating to them what I'm going to give up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll give you an inside route.
Right.
But if you run an outside route, you're going to be in trouble, bro.
Right, I'm on you.
Yeah, I'm going to be on you.
Yeah.
So those kind of things start to happen, and it slows down. And then when I got to the league, man, it was just that first – we're playing the Buccaneers, my first game.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily for me, one of their top receivers was a guy who went to ASU.
Okay.
And he's playing receiver,
yeah.
but he was a corner until he got beat out by a guy.
Right.
25.
Okay.
I beat him out.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
This dude's starting in the league?
Right, right.
And like a pivotal player?
Yeah.
dude.
Right.
I'm about to wreck this dude's shop. So again, the confidence was there because I knew,
yeah.
you know, the player on the other side. So those kind of things really go into your playbook. And I had a great coach in college, Willie Shaw,
yeah.
whose son is David Shaw, right. the head coach of Stanford. And he talked so much about the position and what it takes to be a success. Mm-hmm. And it's about tips and overthrows. It's about getting the football, understanding what defenses are trying to accomplish. There's going to be some kind of weakness in between the play caller, the quarterback, or the receiver. Okay, if you can find a weakness in there, right. you can win. And so that's what it was really about for me. And it took a couple years, you know, to be consistent with the preparation, the game time, kind of laying it all out.
Yeah.
About a year or two, man, I was just so tuned in to what it was about, you know, and had those great competitions against Tim Brown when I played the Raiders,
right.
or Jerry Rice, of course.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then, you know, just if I'm going to play against the Falcons early and they have prime time, they have Deion on the side, I got to play better than Deion.
Right, right.
So the preparation yeah. against yeah. Andre Rison mm-hmm. and then. So I was a football nerd, man. I loved it. I still do today. Yeah. A lot of preparation, a lot of study. Q, I used to keep like notebooks full of guys that I've played against, okay. coordinators,
yeah.
Quarterbacks, their weaknesses and strengths. And I would just kind of, you know, mark it down in meetings. Okay, take a blip here. So, again, it's really a extension of all those guys who helped me out.
Right.
And I tried to provide that to Charles Woodson, mm-hmm. to Otis Smith, who played for the Patriots for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I just tried to, you know, pass it on.
Right.
And hopefully those guys could get some, you know, some keys and cues, get a couple picks and have great careers.
Charles has always given you a lot of props for which he's always given you a lot of props. He's always said, you know, that, hey, I was, my job was to watch EA.
Yeah.
My job was to watch EA and see what he does and be a pro, you know, be a pro. Cause
that's what it's about.
Cause you knew what you were doing at that point, you know, and I heard Charles and you guys talking the other day right before the first round. And, you know, he was talking about, hey, you know, you're going to go through adversity.
Yes.
And it's all about how you come out on the other end of it.
Right, right. And you can't remove all those hurdles.
Right.
It would be foolish for me to try and remove those hurdles. A little quick story. Our first game in 98 was we went to Kansas City and played. So Woods on the corner, I'm on one corner. I think Anthony Newman was one strong safety. And was our free safety, was Eric Turner there? I'm not sure if Eric Turner was there or not. But so we had a pretty solid secondary.
Right.
And I think Albert Lewis was coming off the bench, man.
Wow.
And Albert was a tremendous corner.
He was a dog.
Long and really good. So we had a really good group of guys. We come in at halftime, we're down, and Rising is tearing Wood up.
Mm-hmm.
Rising tearing Wood up.
Yeah.
So I come in at halftime, and I go over to, you know, Coach Shaw, who was our defensive back coach. And I was like, hey, can I – go over and he's like, no, we're going to be okay. I need to let the young guy mm-hmm. know that this is the league, right? You have to have a bad half. How is he going to bounce back, right? So, and he came out, and instead of playing off, he played press on him. Mm-hmm. And he really forced Andre to make a lot of moves at line of scrimmage because Charles was so powerful and athletic, right? He was trying to play off like me because I'm trying to get picks. Yeah. I'm in year 10. Yeah. I know what route you're going to run.
Right, you throw it my way. I'm trying to get picks.
So, right. But that's a process. You can't just play off and eyes and having bad eyes, right? So again, he pressed the second half. Totally different ball game for him.
Right.
And again, it was that process. Can't remove some of those hurdles because those are some of the things you need to learn to be great.
He's Eric Allen. I'm Q Myers. This is the Raiders Day 2 post-draft special. We're at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. The Raiders have picked third-round pick, pick number 90, Dylan Parham, inside offensive lineman out of Memphis. He could play center. He could play multiple guard positions. He's just a versatile guy. So that's their round 3 pick. They have a fourth-round pick, 3 fifth-round picks, and a sixth-round pick. We'll come back. We'll talk about what direction we think they may go on day 3. This is Raider Nation Radio 920.
Back to Raiders HQ for more NFL draft coverage with Q and Eric Allen.
We're here at Raiders HQ. This is the Raiders Day 2 post-draft special. He's Eric Allen. I'm Q Myers. And we know there's an offensive lineman in the mix, Dylan Parham, Memphis. He could play multiple positions. Something that GM Dave Ziegler said just a little while ago was all of our guys in the inside. He really emphasized it, EA. He said all of our guys get cross-trained on the inside. That versatility, we started the show talking versatility, and Dave Ziegler kind of doubled down on that.
Yeah, for sure. And that's telling you that he wants some guys who are smart enough to do that,
right,
and are willing to do that. And it's up to them to kind of put themselves in a place for success. Once a general manager and a head coach comes to you and lets you kind of stack your chips, so to speak, like how much can you handle?
Right.
So you come in and you let them know, you know, I can get down at left or right guard. And then I can, you know, I can battle at center. So don't be afraid to throw me in the mix. So these guys are going to see a lot of different variables and defensive line looks,
right?
When you're playing guard to center and what you're focused on, you know, what your keys are, all different. But it's all about what you can handle and what you can show you can handle.
Right. And earlier in the day, we talked about different positions that we all thought that the Raiders would be interested in.
Yeah.
Offensive line clearly was one.
Right.
Linebacker was one. Both you and myself said defensive back. You know, DBs win games. I'll go to my grave and say it. You know? And I wasn't a good DB. You talked about light bulb moments. I had a light bulb moment as
what
a DB.
I was
outside and I didn't have anyone. I wasn't covering anybody, right? They all went inside.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, if you're on the outside, you're supposed to stay on the outside. Because if there's nothing there, something's coming out, right?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I let my eyes get, you know, get
bad
into
eyes.
The backfield.
Bad eyes,
bad feet. I started looking like, I'm about to make this play. The quarterback's starting to scramble. Oh, he's in trouble. He's just going to throw it up there. I'm going to make a play. I'm going to take it to the house.
Whatever.
I had everything in my mind. And then I saw the slot receiver. They got outside, and I'm inside.
Oh, no, Q.
The ball's in the air, and I was buddy. This
That's
is going to end
good.
Bad. And then I gave the look to the sideline. My bad.
Right.
And you know, no coach wants to hear my bad.
No, not in that critical time right there.
No, not at
Last
all.
Last line of defense, and you can't be my bad.
No, not at all. At all. That's what I knew then. I said, well, I'm glad I could talk.
There you go.
Because this is not going to be for me. But, man, yeah, that you have those light bulb moments. Sometimes you want it to be good.
Right.
Mine was not. But, you know, so.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, man. It was great. So now that we're looking at day 3, and there were some defensive backs that I had mentioned that I thought, okay, the Raiders could grab in round 3 if they're available. These guys are still available.
Yes.
You know, and so I've mentioned it multiple times. I think there's a lot of talent still out there to be had. What direction do you think? How do you think Dave Ziegler and company kind of navigates through tomorrow?
Yeah, linebacker. When you start to look at right now the depth chart of the Raiders, of course, you got a Pro Bowler, right? In Perryman.
Yes.
And he came in and filled in and stepped in for some guys who we thought were going to be there and be staples of this football team. But unfortunately, just injuries.
Right.
Just really threw a monkey wrench in that situation. But I just don't see the depth behind, you know, some of the linebacker spots. And then the linebacker spots really young for this football team. So I think some linebackers are key. And then you have to have some defensive back help. You have to have guys just through camp, really.
Right.
You know, right now, you know, getting bodies for camps also, and so many receivers that you need to have guys who can cover.
Right.
And hopefully you can find somebody who's, you know, a great piece that you can plug in, and he has some a skill set that you can develop.
So there is part two of my conversation with Eric Allen from the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, Raiders HQ, doing a little bit of throwback style edition for the next couple days as I'm on vacation. But hopefully you're enjoying these conversations. I know I enjoyed these conversations with Eric Allen and really enjoyed even going back and putting this together and just kind of listening to it, because Eric Allen gives you a whole lot of knowledge if you're a big NFL fan and just want to hear the X's and O's, especially from a former player that played at a level like Eric Allen. So part three of my conversation is coming up in segment number three after I tell you about Built Bar. I've been telling you about Built Bar for a very long time, but all week long I've been telling you about two big-time flavors from Built Bar. That's Brownie Batter Puffs and Birthday Cake Built Bar Puffs. Both of those are marshmallow infused. If you're a big marshmallow fan, these are the kind that you want. They've actually got the marshmallow in there, and they're just great flavors. You know, brownie batter, going back to being a kid when you used to lick the brownie batter off the bowl, right? When mom was making some brownies at the house. And then birthday cake. Who doesn't like birthday cake? Both of those flavors are available right now at Built.com. You can use that promo code LOCK15. You'll save 15% off your order. And on top of that, not only do these things taste great, but they're good for you. That's the biggest thing. They're good for you. We know it's just about summertime. Kids are getting out of school. Kids are going to be around the house. And what do? They like to eat. So they don't eat because they're hungry. They eat because they're bored. So if they're going to eat and they're going to eat you out of house and home, at least make it a good snack, right? So check it out today. Built.com. Brownie Batter Puffs. The Birthday Cake Built Bar Puffs available as well. Lock 15. It's all one word. Save 15% off your order when you go to check out at Built.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation, segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part three of my conversation with the great Eric Allen. This was post day two of the NFL draft. It was a Friday, Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. One of these interviews, and I hold on to all my interviews just because you never know when you want to go back and listen to them, or it's just something to be proud of, you know. And for me to have an accomplishment where I can sit down and have a conversation and co-host a show with Eric Allen, that was a big deal to me. So hopefully you've been enjoying this. I know I enjoyed it. But here's part three of our conversation.
The Raiders have brought in plenty of guys through free agency. I think that they've really done a good job just, you know, stacking talent in free agency. Now they're continuing to do that in the draft. How important do you think it is for them to find a wide receiver, a guy that they can use as like a kick return specialist as well? Because Hunter Renfrow's been doing a really good job.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, he's going to be a key cog to this offense. I've seen what Josh McDaniels has done with the slot receiver, and I kind of feel like you might not want to put Hunter in harm's way all the time.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And again, that's what couple fifths are about.
Right.
Finding that specialist who's had a great career in college, and as someone who can fill in and step in that role and then provide you maybe with something else. Maybe he's that dime back, or maybe he's that fourth receiver.
Right.
But you know he's going to give you value in the return game, in the all special teams, basically. But maybe he's a dynamic returner and has some really great skill sets there. So and again, that's what the evaluation process is all about, finding players who can specialize in things, but you can develop them for other things.
One guy that we saw drop and had a major drop in the draft was N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker out of Georgia. Surprised he dropped out of round one. Then all of a sudden he's dropped out of round two. And then we start hearing reports about injuries. And, you know, is it a pec injury? Is it a shoulder injury? He had an ankle surgery. So then you start to understand why the drop. And for me, when I start seeing the pec injury, I had a lot of Raider Nation hit me up and say, hey, do you think the Raiders should go make that move? And I was like, I don't think you can.
Right. Not right now.
Right.
The direction of this football team.
Right.
You're not going to reach on somebody. You want someone who doesn't have that injury bug or isn't coming off an injury, so to speak, right now, because of kind of what happened last year with so many injuries. You don't want to start your career off with a guy who has those question marks. There's so many other players that have film that are not injured that can come in and participate and can do almost anything for you at their position. So really important. I was surprised at Kenneth, the third from Michigan State.
Running back, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he would go a little earlier. He had just a phenomenal year last year, just dominant runner.
Big time.
And I was surprised that he lasted so long. So, again, and it tells, goes to show you about that running back position.
Right, exactly.
It used to be a dominant position. I mean, it used to be that's the guy you wanted to build your team around. But because of the impact of the quarterback, the receivers, there's just so many receivers that just go. I'm not sure if you look up and down the draft, it's receiver. Right. And, of course, you need corners to cover them. So it's it's receiver, corner. And just surprised at the running back spot and how important it is in playoffs.
Right.
Right. When you go on that playoff run.
Yeah, you need those.
You need a guy.
Yep.
You need a guy.
Yep.
And so I'm really surprised that he didn't go earlier.
Well, you know, and the other thing about the running back position, now you have wide receivers that are doubling down as running backs as well. You have Debo Samuels, and now everyone wants a Debo.
Yeah.
You know, and the Raiders attempted to have a guy like that in Lynn Bowden Jr. when they went and drafted him. And, you know, it didn't work out with him, but that was also the concept behind it. Hey, this guy can catch the ball. He can run the rock. And so it just more and more takes the value away from that position. And again, it's unfortunate. It's one of my favorite positions to watch. When a running back is cooking and when they're feeling it, it's almost like you know what's coming, but you just can't stop it.
You can't stop it,
you know?
Some of the, I would when Josh, because he's such a gifted runner.
Yeah, he is.
And in the middle of the football field, you never really get a great hit on him. When he's healthy, it is such a joy to watch him run, watch him play. So hopefully he can kind of put it all together, stay on the field, stay healthy this year. So we can see more of him.
Yeah, really. And Josh McDaniels' offense has traditionally had multiple running backs.
Yeah,
you know, and part of that is keeping these guys healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and now that you have a 17-game season, 18 weeks, I mean, you get to the end of the season, Josh got healthy at the right time. The offensive line gelled at the right time when you needed that playoff push. You needed a 4-game winning streak that I didn't think that they were going to get. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, but they did it.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and that's what they needed was that – offensive line to be dominant and that run game to be dominant.
Yeah, for sure. And you have to – me and Marcel always have this argument. It's about being balanced. And, of course, you want to be balanced.
Right.
You want to be balanced.
Of course.
But sometimes you can't. Mm-hmm. Right? So we went on that streak where Derek had to throw for over 300 yards for us to win.
Right.
Because the offensive line at that point wasn't ready to have a dominant running attack.
Right.
Right? Yep. Guys weren't healthy. Guys knew. So you had to find other ways to win. And again, I tell Marcel, of course you want to be balanced, but I'm not going to be balanced for sake of just being balanced and lose.
Right. Stat sheet says we did everything the same.
Yeah. I want to win football games. That's what it's about now, and I think that is the message this year for all Raider fans because it's only one football. Like my good friend JT, it's only one football. Yeah, and everyone can't get the football. So, and Tim Brown, obviously great. And he said yesterday on our show that Hunter needs to catch about 50 balls.
Right.
Opposed to 100.
Instead of 104.
Instead of 100. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. And Waller may not have as many targets. I think the first game he had 18 targets, something crazy like that.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Right? It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is W's.
Right.
And that's what's important. And I think everyone's on the same page here. That's the type of player you have to bring in. And when you have those meetings, understanding that it's about winning.
Right.
Okay. There's going to be enough opportunities for everybody. But if we're winning, everyone should be happy.
And you had a really good sit down with Davante Adams. And everyone knows that he's a production guy. I mean, he produces at a very high level. But he's made it clear. He talked to us on the radio. He talked to you. He's made it clear it's not about 10 catches a game. It's not about, you know, getting 3 touchdowns a game. It's about wins.
Wins.
Now, don't force the ball to me. I know me and Derek have a relationship. Don't force the ball to me.
Exactly.
Just get it done.
Efficiency.
Right.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Winning and efficient. You know, if I'm going to throw you 4 or 5 balls, those 4 or 5 balls have to be touchdowns and chain moving catches. And that's kind of what Hunter needs to think about, Waller, all of them need to think about.
Right.
And it's going to make this football team more potent, better. And I think ultimately what it's about is this offense getting on rhythm.
Right.
And then defensively have to find ways to really be good at something. And I think that's what you see when you see championship teams. You see an offense that's in rhythm, that can score, great in the red zone, and then a defense that's really good at something, whether it's putting pressure on the quarterback, intercepting balls, causing fumbles, going 3 and out, having great red zone numbers. You got to almost specialize in something, and hopefully that's what we're working towards.
You know, earlier in the day you talked about turnovers, and you know, I've been looking at that defensive line, and I think Patrick Graham is going to, I mean, he's already, you could tell by the free agents that they brought in, all the guys on the interior are over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, they're the big boys. They want to stop the run, you know, but they also want to get a push up the gut, you know, and so you have Chandler Jones screaming off one end, you have Max Crosby screaming off the other end, but then you have that interior push. So if they can get that push from that defensive line, no matter what formation you're running, 3-4, 4-3, who cares? If you're getting that pressure, the guys on the back end have an opportunity to eat and create those turnovers that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
They need to find ways to create.
You got to get those turnovers. You got to get them. And that massive front and responsibility goes way back. It goes back to the, like, the 90 Giants,
yeah,
right? When Bill Parcells, and of course Bill Belichick was defensive coordinator, but you have a absolute once-in-a-lifetime edge rusher in Lawrence Taylor. Mm-hmm. But the rest of those guys up front were outstanding at their job, at either stopping the run or providing that great pass rush from the other side, so you couldn't double Lawrence Taylor all the time.
Right.
And then so, again, that formula is really successful, and they brought that formula here. So now you have two outstanding edge rushers, and Hankins can play. When he's healthy,
he does a really
good job. Bilal's now in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Vickers also had some explosive plays this year. So you just got to fulfill your role, be consistent at that, and I think defensively we're going to be really good.
You know, and Patrick Graham is coming over from the Giants. I like him as a defensive coordinator. And the thing about it, and really I guess you could say it's about Josh McDaniels, outside of a couple seasons, I think that there's more talent, maybe raw talent, that the Raiders have than any of these coaches have really messed with. I mean, and coached up. I mean, Josh McDaniels, of course, had Randy Moss one year, which was fantastic. You know, they broke records. But besides that, he had slot receivers. He had good players. But, I mean, you look at Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow. He didn't have any of those guys.
No.
You know, and Patrick Graham didn't have Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. You know, he didn't have that.
Yeah, Pro Bowl linebacker and, you know, a young safety who we think is going to be legit. I mean, he's done an outstanding job being a young player. I thought he did a really good job of patrolling the secondary, not allowing big explosive plays. He did his job.
Right.
And I think he can be versatile. I think he can slide down inside. Reviewing his tape from last year's draft, God, it's already been a year.
it goes by so fast.
Yeah.
I remember
sitting down looking at him at TCU, our safety, and saying, man, he's done a really good job in the middle of the football field. He played some man-to-man on number three or four receiver at time. Rolled in the box. He does a lot of things, very versatile. So I'm excited to see what he can bring. Of course, Rocky Sin comes.
Right.
Again, can play up, can play off, can play left, can play right, can play inside. So, again, the versatility speaks volumes for these players in this organization. And just excited to see what's going to happen here in minicamp.
So as far as day three goes, mentioned five picks that they have, three in the fifth round. I mean, that's kind of being that sweet spot. And they're like, boom, 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 164, 165, 169. It's like the Raiders on the clock, the Raiders on the clock. Oh, yeah, the Raiders on the clock. You know, and that's just if they don't make any trades. And who knows? Again, I think that the more at-bats that they get, the better. You know, you're just going to get more opportunities. We heard GM Dave Ziegler mention that a little earlier, that you just get more at-bats. And if you get more at-bats, you have an opportunity to get a Nate Hobbs. You have an opportunity to get a Malcolm Kuntz, you know, who, I mean, we haven't even mentioned him. He's a guy that got limited snaps last season, but he did the most with it.
Yeah, he shined.
Had three sacks.
Yeah, he shined in those,
those
opportunities.
Yeah,
he shined those opportunities. And a young guy like that is still a sponge.
Right.
So he's going to learn so much from Chandler Jones, playing behind Chandler, and, you know, taking those reps when Chandler's like, hey, you know what, young fella, you know, go take a couple of these reps right now in practice.
Right.
So you're going to get better.
Yeah.
And I thought they all really learned a lot from Ngakoue last year, but Chandler Jones just a different animal.
Different guy.
Yeah,
different
just a different guy.
Yeah, he really is. So I know we don't have much time. What positions are you looking for? A couple quick positions that you may be looking for the Raiders to grab tomorrow.
Yeah, linebacker, depth at linebacker, depth at DB as always. And then they may drop back into that offensive line pool.
So there it is. There it was, Raider Nation. That was my conversation. That was post-draft day. That was day number two. That was Friday from the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. Eric Allen and myself. And, you know, Eric Allen is always on with JT during the pregame show, the postgame show, when it comes to the actual game day at Allegiant Stadium or even on the road. You know, they always have their pre- and postgame show. But for me to be able to do that, it was just a whole nother animal. So hopefully you enjoyed that. I know I did. I enjoyed it a whole lot. And I'm also enjoying my vacation a whole lot. So hopefully, you know, you understand why I got these throwbacks that I'm playing right now, just because getting a little R&R. First time I've had a vacation in about, I don't know, five seasons. This is my fifth season going into the Locked On Raiders podcast in about 10 years, actually. I've had a vacation, but this podcast has been at least, this is my fifth season. I've never had a vacation. So enjoying this one, myself and the wife. So anyway, we'll be back on Monday having some more shows. Matter of fact, myself and Eddie Pascal, we did a scheduled release show. Some of you saw it on YouTube. Well, you'll hear that conversation. A lot of that conversation you'll hear on Monday's show. And then Tuesday, we'll close things out with the great Lester Hayes. The very first time I got a chance to talk to Lester Hayes, it was fantastic. Lots of good conversation there. And I think a lot of people really enjoyed that. So enjoy your weekend, Raider Nation. I'm going to enjoy mine. We'll be back on Monday, myself and Eddie Pascal. And then on Tuesday, you'll hear Lester Hayes, the conversation I had with him. So until then, Raider Nation, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. Take care of your family. Love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.